The first reason that I think these things are important is the idea of knowledge. It is important for us to understand God's Word. It is an important thing for us to continue to study God's Word, no matter how far we may have come in our knowledge. Because particularly in regards to the things that we've looked at, it seems to me that these very basic principles in many cases now are being tested. It was interesting to me as I was getting these lessons up that there was not a single one of them, and most of the time I would relay those examples to you in the course of the lesson, there was not a single lesson where we couldn't find some example of either people that we know or denominations that we may be familiar with who have strayed completely from the topics that we discussed. And as we look at those things, it is important for us to realize that knowledge is vitally important for us to continue to do the things that we need to be doing and for us to understand. Basic principles are being tested. Many of those that we know who have strayed in some of these areas are people that at one point were faithful. At one time they were wielding an influence for good, but now, for whatever reason, have departed from what the truth is and now are practicing things that are wrong. I would suggest to you that as we consider this, that false teachers are at work. They are bringing to us another gospel. They are teaching us things that aren't right, and they're leading people astray. Because, as we've already said, at one point they were doing what was right, and now that good influence that they at one time had is leading people in a way that is not right. And we're watching as many in our generation are beginning to depart from the basic truths of God's Word and going to something that is different from that. And I think as we look at that, one of the basic reasons why that is happening is the idea of knowledge. People aren't studying the way they should. They're not looking into God's Word for themselves as they should, and they're more willing just to accept what some man may present to them instead of examining God's Word and seeing what is contained within it. And so as we look at this, one of the things that I want to challenge you to do is to go back and look at these topics that we have studied and don't just accept the things that I've said or the passages that I've used, but rather examine for yourselves and make sure that the things that we are studying are true and are accurate. I would suggest to you as we look at this idea of knowledge that there is a generation that is coming behind us. There is a generation that will be, and many of them are sitting in this audience, who will be affected by these things as time goes on. And it is important that we make sure that as we present lessons from God's Word and as we study God's Word, that we ground those who are younger in the truth. They must come to a point where they understand the basics, because that is what is going to be vitally important for them as they carry on from this point in their life. I want you to turn with me to a couple of passages, beginning in Judges chapter 2. We can look back at God's people, and these are passages that we are familiar with, but we can look back at God's people and see them as they made the very mistake that I'm afraid this generation may have made. As we see that there was a generation who arose, as we look in Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, that didn't know God. A generation who turned away from the things that their elders held to at one point. In Judges chapter 2, begin with me at verse 7. It says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel." Why did that happen? Why is it that here we see men like Joshua and just tremendous pillars of strength who were leaders of God's people, brought them to a point where they inherited the land of Canaan, and then you see as everything that they had tried to establish just crumbled after they departed this life? Why is that? Because a generation arose that didn't know God. There was a generation who was not taught, apparently, about the things that God had done. They were not grounded in the things in which they needed to be grounded for them to continue in the traditions of their fathers and in the traditions that God had laid down for His people. I want you to turn with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea is over towards the end of the Old Testament. I want you to turn to Hosea chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 6. As again we look and we see a similar type of admonition, this time as God, through the prophet Hosea, is warning His people, I believe. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God is speaking through Hosea, and he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." The first part of that, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If we as God's people do not continue to study God's Word and delve into His Word and understand what He would have us to do, we will find ourselves in the same position as they. A generation can be destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. I would suggest to you that those who are young must realize the importance of the things that we have delved into over the last number of weeks. It is important for you not to think that this type of teaching is old-fashioned or something that is no longer really necessary. I think that these things are vitally important for us, and may you, as a demonstration of your maturity and your dedication, realize the importance of these basic concepts. Because I will say this, in many cases, a number of those issues that we have looked at are things that are occurring right now. They are things that we're facing now, and if they are issues of the past, they are issues that will arise again. It'll be in a different form. It will not be in maybe the exact same plan or method that it has been in the past, but it will come back again. And we must be prepared for that, and we must be ready to go to God's Word and to defend those things in which we believe, and that will be done by coming to a knowledge and understanding of God's Word. The second reason that I would suggest to you that these types of lessons are important is the idea of conviction. I'll tell you right off the bat that conviction is a companion to knowledge. It is hard to separate the two, but I want to try this morning to demonstrate to you the difference. It is one thing for us to know God's Word. We've looked into it, we understand it, we see what's there. It's another thing for us to be convicted of those things that we see there. The idea behind conviction is that we're willing to stand up for those things in which we believe. And so we study and we look into God's Word and we see what He would have us to do. And as we come to a greater understanding of that, we then believe it with all of our hearts to a point that when somebody comes and tells us something different from that, we're willing to pull out God's Word and refute the things that they would say because we are convicted. It's not just enough for us, whether young or old, to have a knowledge of God's Word. We must believe it to a point that we're willing to stand up for it against whoever may oppose it, no matter how formidable a foe they may be. And may we realize the importance of this conviction that we must have of God's Word. I think that it's easy for us to begin to allow our convictions to kind of die down a little bit. You know, as I already mentioned, we look at some of these issues that we've talked about or things that we've discussed, and you say, you know, well, those are things that happened years ago. Now, I know my parents and my grandparents had to deal with those things, but I'm not really having to deal with them. And, you know, I look at Pepper Road, and Pepper Road hasn't had to deal with anything like that really in the last 6 or 7, 10 years, however long this congregation's been in existence. We haven't had to worry with those things. And, you know, I just don't see that being a problem here. Have you ever had those kind of thoughts? It's those kind of thoughts that lead us to a rather unsteady foundation. It is those kind of thoughts that allow us to drop that guard, as it were, and then we find ourselves as sitting ducks for somebody to come in and begin to present to us something that is contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And as I said, they won't come in teaching the same thing that we've already heard and that we've heard all the arguments about. What they will come in and what they will teach is the same thing, except in a little bit different form. And so conviction is important because we are continuing to study and we're continuing to develop and we know why we believe what we believe and we're willing to stand up for those things because we are convicted. I would say to you that this conviction, as I've already alluded to, comes by continued study. It is not enough for us to hear a few lessons in regards to these topics. It's not enough for me to know somebody who's convicted and be saying, well, you know, I can always stand on their knowledge and I can stand on their conviction. And if I run into any problems, I can just call them and they'll kind of do what I need to be doing. That doesn't work. Conviction comes by studying, not somebody else studying, but by me studying, by me sitting down with God's Word and examining what's in there. And I look at the things that are being presented to me and I look at God's Word and I examine them in light of God's Word, and then I come to my conclusions based on His Word and on His Word alone. That's what conviction is all about. It is knowledge that leads us to a point where we're willing to stand for what is right, no matter what the price may be. I want you to turn with me again to a couple of passages. Go with me this time to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, I think we see an example of this very thing.
In Acts 17 and verse 11, I want you to read about the Bereans as Paul is comparing them, or Luke rather, is comparing Paul and Silas to the ones who were there. But he's comparing them to those who were in Thessalonica, and they had preached in both places. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, as they come into Berea, listen to what they see there. It says in verse 11 of Acts 17, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Now, what do we see? Here is a group of people who were more than willing to receive the word of God. And here comes somebody in and he's teaching them. And they receive that teaching and very readily receive it. But there was a difference between them and those in Thessalonica. Not only apparently did they receive it, but they also took the scriptures themselves and examined whether the things that they were being told were so. That's a group of people who are studying. That's a group of people who are concerned that the things that they are hearing are in accordance with God's word. And I dare say that as the Bereans listened, and if they had heard something that they couldn't find in the scripture, they would have found that and understood that that was not true and not right, because they realized apparently the scripture was the basis on which men needed to be teaching them. And so they stood for that. And when one came in teaching them, they took out their scriptures as well and studied and came to understand whether those things were true or whether they were not true. Should we be any different? No. We cannot accept the word of some man. We cannot, just because somebody reads off a bunch of passages and says, "This is the way it is," necessarily just swallow that down and say, "Yes, I believe that 100%. We must study. If the only reason we believe the things that we believe is because I've stood up here and said it, or because somebody else has stood up here and said it, or that's what we've read some book that some man wrote somewhere back there, if that's why we believe and are convicted on the things that we're convicted, it is a shallow conviction. It is not until I sit down with God's Word, it's not until you sit down with God's Word and examine these things for ourselves that we come to true conviction based on our own knowledge and understanding of His will. And I challenge you, we must study. We must examine His Word. We must look into it for ourselves. Don't allow yourself to be pulled into the trap that so many have been pulled into, where they're just willing to listen and they're not willing to study for themselves. The next time a difficult question comes along, you could easily be led away, because some of the very ones who are leading people away right now from the pattern of God's Word are people who at one time stood strong, and people began to follow them, and now they're following them down to their demise. May we realize the dangers. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's another passage that I think presents a similar idea. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, again, this time the Apostle Paul writing to the preacher Timothy, listen to what he says. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We as a group of God's people and as individuals must be diligent to make sure that as we look into God's word, we're finding out what He would have us to be. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take the word of some man who would stand before you, but rather look into it for yourself and come to conclusions. We must be diligent. We must be like the Bereans. Are these things so? If they are, then may we come to firm conviction on them. And if they're not, may we reject not only the teaching, but may we reject the teacher who would lead us down a path that is wrong. Our beliefs must be our own. Our convictions must be our own. And if they are not, may we begin to examine God's Word so that we can become founded in those things in which we need to be founded. This is an admonition to young and to old. I am seeing a current generation, those who are my age, those some who are older than me, who are beginning to depart from God's Word. They're leaving it. And obviously at some point, their conviction, the base of their conviction was not firm and steady. It wasn't there. And somebody came in, whoever that may have been, and managed to lead them astray, or they, by their own lack of knowledge and lack of continued study, have found themselves drifting from the Word of God. May we realize that these types of lessons are vitally important for us so that we gain greater knowledge of God's Word, and also involved with that coming to greater conviction on the things that we're hearing. The third thing that I would suggest to you is that these lessons are important for us to maintain doctrinal purity. I think it is vitally important that as we look at lessons like the ones that we have been engaged in now for the last number of weeks, that we realize these kind of lessons are important to us if we're going to abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to 2 John. Verse 9 is the verse that we're going to read. As we see the key to us being in a relationship with Jesus Christ, as we look at 2 John verse 9, this is just a basic statement of truth and one that we must come to understand. 2 John 9, John is writing and he says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." We have contained within God's Word the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is now up to us to remain within the bounds of that Word. We cannot allow ourselves to come up with some reason or some excuse as to why we can go beyond, but rather we must remain within that doctrine. We must not begin and allow ourselves to come to a point where we believe and act on things that are not found within His Word. We must abide within the doctrine of Christ. That is our only, as we said at the very beginning of this series, it is our only basis of authority. And so as we look at the things that we do, whether it's involved in these topics that we have discussed or any other topic that you may be struggling with or studying about, we must be looking into His Word and remaining within its confines as we come to our conclusions. It's not right for me to speculate or for me to come up with my own thoughts or to interject or add to what we see here. We have what we need. And we must realize that, and we must believe that with all of our hearts. To continue in our fellowship with Jesus Christ, we must maintain our association with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we must remain within the bounds of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. To go beyond is to stray. To do anything less is not right. And as we look at these lessons, may we realize that they're important to us maintaining doctrinal purity. And then the final thing I would suggest in along these lines is we must be on guard against worldly philosophy. Because we look around us and we see churches that have the name Church of Christ and they're not teaching things that are found within the doctrine of Christ. We see churches that say churches of God and they're not teaching things that are found within the doctrine of Christ. We see denomination after denomination after denomination who claim to be wanting to do what God would tell them to do, but they're not abiding within the doctrine of Christ. They've either added to it or they've taken things away from it. They've changed it. They're not teaching the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. And they're certainly not practicing it. And we listen to those things. And maybe we turn the radio on at certain times and that's what we hear. Or we pick up an article and that's what we read. Or we see these things on TV and we begin to listen to those things. And it's very easy for us to allow those things to influence and affect our thinking, not because we're examining the doctrine of Christ, but because we're listening to those who have gone beyond and strayed from it. May we realize the importance of not allowing worldly philosophy to affect our thinking in regards to the Word of God. We can't do that. We must avoid that at all costs. But I'm telling you, I believe it's a grave danger. Because it's easy for us to pick up a commentary. It's easy for us to pick up the writings of some man and just read the things that he has said. And I'll tell you, a lot of their arguments, as they pull certain passages, will make a lot of sense. But we must make sure that the scope of the passages that address whatever issue we may be discussing are being considered. It's not enough to look at a couple of different things and say, there, that proves it. We must examine all of what God says on a subject and come to our conclusions based on all of the things that He has said. And too many times, men are leaving out verses that are vitally important to us understanding God's Word. And if we just listen to them or listen to their preconceived ideas on the way certain passages are to read, we may find ourselves in some serious trouble listening to the worldly philosophy that we see around us. We must avoid its influence. We must not buy into that type of teaching. Rather, as we have listed in our first couple of points, we must develop our knowledge and ground our conviction in God's Word and in God's Word alone. And so when we find some challenging question that comes before us, what is our first thing that we do? It's not grab up a commentary. It's not pick up the telephone and call somebody who is older and apparently wiser than we are. We go to God's Word. And we examine it. And we read for ourselves.
And we strive to come to a knowledge and understanding of His Word and conviction based on His Word, and based only on His Word. It is when we do that that we will be what He would have us to be. We must realize the importance of maintaining doctrinal purity, even in what sometimes may be a hostile environment. People don't like the things we believe. They don't like it because it is stricter than what they believe. They don't like it because, in many cases, I believe they can look and see that it's right, but they're unwilling to conform their hearts to it. But just because the world may put pressure on us to change our views and to change our way of looking at God's Word, we must not give in. We must stand for the truth. We must abide within the doctrine of Christ. For it is when we abide in the doctrine of Christ that we have fellowship both with the Father and with the Son. And ultimately, that's the thing that will lead to joy for eternity. And so we look, and we say, why are lessons like this important? They're important because we must have knowledge of God's Word. They're important because we must be convicted. We must be willing to stand up for what we believe and be willing to stand for that, whatever the cost. They're important because we must, as we look at our lives, as we look at this group of people who is striving to serve God, we must maintain doctrinal purity in the things that we teach, in the things that we believe, in the things that we practice. That's the challenge that lies before us. I see a group of people who can meet that challenge. And I encourage you that as we listen to lessons from time to time, may we get down our Bibles and may we study. May we examine what's there. And may we make sure that we are abiding in the doctrine that has been delivered to us by Jesus Christ. We talked, as I've already said in other lessons, several weeks ago about the plan of salvation. It's right here. It's laid out for us. I don't believe it's all that difficult. And the challenge that comes to you this morning, are you willing to accept that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him and be baptized for those sins to be washed away? If you're ready to do that, we hope you'll respond this morning. And may each of us renew our dedication to abiding within His Word and examining our beliefs and our convictions based on His Word and making sure that we are doing what God would have us to do. There are people here who need to respond this morning. Don't delay another day. Come to Jesus Christ. It's the only place where you'll find true happiness and true joy. Don't pass up this opportunity, but rather come right now as we stand up.